Welcome to Cider Chat. In this episode, we're making our final stop on this summer's cider-fueled road trip to New York and Pennsylvania. And the final stop brought us to West Wind Orchard. It's in Accord, New York, which is on the west side of the Hudson River. Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world.
Hip, hip, hooray!
There is so much to say hip, hip, hooray about, I can't even begin. I mean, when it's fall in Ciderville, in my special spot of Ciderville, there's just apple energy in the air because it's cider making time, right? Cider donuts, everything, you know, about walking the orchard. I had my mail lady stop by just this past weekend, and I heard the horn honking. I thought, oh, I got a delivery. Sometimes she does that. And I ran out. No, she wasn't looking for a delivery. She had some folks who were looking for some cider. So, you know, I didn't know these ladies. One was from Texas, bringing out her 97-year-old mom and visiting a childhood friend, and they hadn't been in the area for a long time. And of course, I sent them to New Salem Cider, which is just not too far from where I live, that very special cidery, that an orchard, museum class orchard that I talk about so much with dear Carol B. Hillman. It was such an easy direction to give. So, you know, that's what's happening. You never know. Your mail person might show up and say, hey, these folks need some cider. Wow, when did that start happening? Oh, okay. Cracks me up. Anyways, it's a cool thing. And if you're new to the podcast, please subscribe. Lots of good stuff to come. And we have an amazing featured conversation with a special person who is making cider and pairing that with food. So if you are a foodie like I am and love to blend that with cider, you're in for a treat. Really going to be recommending West Wind Orchard to put that on your to-do list to get there. But I'm moving along too fast. When I return, we're going to hear about our sponsor, the Northwest Cider Club. I'll be right back with that.
Walking through the orchards.
I have some happy news. If you have been going to nwciderclub.com/podcast, and noticing that the last quarter cider box wasn't up yet to sign up for, well, no more worries because it is now all set and you could start ordering your Discover box or the Elevated box. And it's featuring ciders from Montana, Idaho, and one cider made in Oregon from Ballman Cider. In fact, I'm going to have Christine Walters, who is the gal behind Ballman Cider, on the podcast. I did a recording with her. I'm definitely one of her fangirls. I just want to say from the get-go. And so how stokable is that, right? Here she is making cider in Oregon from Montana apples. And that's a Macintosh apple to boot. Anyways, just the other night, I had a cider from Western Cider. This is based in Missoula, Montana. And just last evening, I reached for their cider called Farmhouse. It's in the Discover box by the Northwest Cider Club because I saw Farm on it, and I was kind of hoping that it was going to deliver that kind of profile, bring me into the farm, into the orchard, and express some of the terroir of the fruit. And these are my tasting notes from last night. Here we go. This Farmhouse cider, wow. I mean, the light amber color, they're saying it's 8.4% alcohol by volume. And I just want to say, holy smokes. Quaffable. This is delicious. I mean, when you have Farmhouse on the label, you expect this kind of cider. And they just hit it out of the ballpark. Perfect. It looks like there's like a zillion different apples in here. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 different apples. Also, Macintosh being one of those, which is a dynamite apple coming out of Montana. You know, they have the Hughes Virginia Crab. I could just go down the list. You know, I'm saying Kingston Black, Bulmers Norman, Cox Orange Pippin, Chisel Jersey. These are really classic, like West Country type of apples that you would see out of the UK.
And this brings me there, actually, but it has its own signature from Montana. That's what I'm digging about it. Go Missoula. Go Western Cider. Kira, who's the cider maker there, outstanding. I'm so impressed. I love the label. Juggling apples there, really fun and whimsical. And dang, I like need a case of this, but I guess I'll just have to go for the Discover box. So perfect. A little bit of soft hay on the note. It's got that kind of farmy taste, but it's so balanced. It's not over the top. If somebody is like freaking out about farmhouse taste, this is your go-to cider. I am wowed. Absolutely wowed.
I was a little sad that that bottle didn't have a clone attached to it. It was that good. Oh my goodness. And I had a dinner of some meatloaf and potatoes, had gone in a long walk, a nice, beautiful fall foliage walk, came home and then had that cider. It was just so yummy. So you can find this in the Discover box from the Northwest Cider Club. Sign up today. Just go to nwciderclub.com/podcast and order it now, because you know it's going to sell out, definitely. This podcast wouldn't be made possible without the unbelievable support of so many people worldwide, folks who send in a donation via the donate button, and all the folks who are patrons of this here podcast, many of which who are not commercial makers. They just enjoy Cider Chat for what it offers and are making cider on their own, or just are cider aficionados, or like to listen to me because it helps put them to sleep. I don't know. It's a wide range of audience, and I love you all. Thank you so much. Which brings me to a new patron whose name is Sean, and all patrons who sign up, I always ask that they send in a little info. So he wrote this, and one of the questions I ask is, how did you find the podcast? And Sean writes, I found Cider Chat about 3 years ago while poking around an Apple Podcast app. I was curious what was out in the podcasting world about cider. Even had a vague notion to maybe start my own cider-based podcast. When I found out about Cider Chat and started listening, I thought, man, why would you want to try to put something out there when Rhea's got it locked in with Cider Chat? I love the eclecticism of your weekly sessions and journeys around Ciderville, and now try to listen as often as possible. Regarding his journey with cider, he writes, I grew up in Pepperell, Massachusetts, right in the middle of apple country, and used to play youth hockey in Leominster, and so was always aware of Johnny Appleseed and his story. Never knew it would be so impactful later. I drank woodchuck in college, but I didn't really rediscover the cider world until my late 30s. By then, I moved to the Pacific Northwest and live in Portland, Oregon now, and was looking for some alternatives to beer. Well, you are in the destination. So many good people, so much good cider. He continues with, my very first Northwest cider was Anthem's Hop Cider, and I had a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup epiphany, realizing the fusion of two great tastes that taste great together. Oh my goodness, that's so funny. That's a good play on words there, Sean. Yep, hops and cider. It does go well together. It's amazing. He continues with, but it also sparked a curiosity to learn more about cider and its different styles, the apples, how it's made, the people that make it. And the more I learned, the more I got hooked. Cider, as we all know, is such an amazing beverage. Apples are incredible. And hey, pears and quince have their moments. Mr. Quince, we know you have more than your moment.
Right.
Now, come on, Perry Pear. You don't have to get upset. He's not saying that quince and Perry Pears don't matter.
But I will tell you this. Perry Pears and hops do not mix.
All right, Perry. It's okay. It's okay. Geez, Sean, you kind of like hit a sore note.
I think you should continue with the letter, Rhea.
Right, Mr. Quince. I got it. Here we go. In this part of the world, we're lucky to have such a great cider scene, and both the Northwest Cider Association and the American Cider Association are right here in town. Volunteering has proven to be a great way to learn more and meet the makers and some industry movers and shakers. I've helped out at events like Cider Ride of Spring, have volunteered as both a steward and judge at the Portland International Cider Cup, and have even been lucky enough to help the American Cider Association with some little projects and volunteer with virtual CiderCon 2021. I'm hoping to get to Richmond in February 2022, help out there too, and maybe even level up to certified pommelier. Before COVID, I also worked for 3 years as a part-time brand ambassador for Portland Cider Company. I really liked working for Jeff and Linda Parrish. They know their stuff, and getting to know their cider-making team led by Devrin Davenport. Sharing great ciders made tastings and festival pourings easy, and it's really fun to talk to people about cider and get folks new to the drink to find out what they like. There's a cider out there for everyone, I like to say. True that. Last thing about the journey, I work full-time in wildlife conservation. It's been a fun career, and I love telling people about our agency, what we do, why we do it, and why they should care about the amazing diversity of fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. It's the same for me for cider, helping people make that connection. I'm a hobbyist and usually make about 10 to 15 gallons a year. I've got an American crabapple tree in my yard. Like to host small virtual and in-person cider tastings with friends, and even have my own little Facebook and Instagram presence where you can find me as Cider Experience. I'd love to write more about cider in my spare time, and I'm hoping to get some more recent blogs and articles online in the future. As you said in your Cider Media series, we need more people telling the amazing story of cider. So thanks for helping being a part of that journey. I've learned a ton from your program. Well, thank you, Sean, for becoming a patron of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page and for your undeniable passion for cider. It's really neat, everything that you're doing and how you're helping lift everyone out there in Ciderville. So keep it up. We'll stay in touch, and I hope to see you in Richmond at CiderCon 2022.
Sean appears to be a nice person.
I know, right? I mean, he's helping support the podcast. That's just amazing. And he has a passion. We need people like that.
I do think, however, Rhea, that he needs to have a little bit more time with Perry Pears and Quince and, might I also add, Medlars.
Thanks, Perry Pear.
Okay, Palms. Hey, look, folks out there in Ciderville, if you don't know who I'm talking to, these are my friends, the Talking Palms, who are my helpers in so many ways, helping me produce this podcast each week, Mr. Quince, Perry Pear, and the Medlars. And, you know, Sean, don't take it personally, okay? You know, palms are like this. You gotta, you know, you just gotta keep on nurturing them and putting them on a pedestal, and you'll be okay. A happy palm is a happy home.
You do know that we could hear you, Rhea.
Shall we go to the featured conversation?
Yes, Mr. Quince. Yeah, and Perry Pear, I know. I'm only joking, buddy.
Right. And that's why, Rhea, we would like you to attend the Steve Martin Masterclass on comedy.
Okay, Perry. You got it, buddy. You got it. Hey, Mr. Quince, how about we cue a little bit of music in here, and then we'll start talking about our featured chat.
Roger that. Ba-dum-ba-dum.
This summer, I took a cider field road trip to the states of New York and Pennsylvania. And in the past couple episodes, I've been rolling out each of the conversations along the way. And in fact, on episode 281, you will get a broad stroke of the entire trip. That's kind of a nice, fun way to start on this entire series on the cider field road trip. And you'll know and find out then that one of the real pushes to get me out in the end during this like pandemic was the fact that my friend Erica Jeter was meeting up at Big Hill Cider Works down in Adams County, Pennsylvania, and bringing along this one juice tasting for makers in the UK. You see, there was a single juice where a bunch of select makers were all seeing what they could do with it, and we got to taste the variations. It was really informative, a ton of fun. So go to episode 281 if you want to hear a bit about that and the overall trip. Then going a little bit further back, I think it was on in September, September 8th, I started publishing the first of a series of interviews that I did while on the Ciderfield road trip. So we spoke to Elizabeth Ryan at Hudson Valley Farmhouse Cider. Then it was Dan Scheffler of Spacetime Mead and Ciderworks. That's in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. Then we were speaking to Ben and Troy at Big Hill Ciderworks, which is in Adams County, Pennsylvania. That's considered the Fruit Belt of Pennsylvania. It's eastern Pennsylvania, a little bit west of Gettysburg. So that southern strip, absolutely stunning area. And then I headed out to Taddy Bogle Ciderworks, which is a bit further to the west and south of Pittsburgh. Beautiful cidery. Love the guy there. I call him the perfect publican. That would be Kurt Henry. And then last week, we heard from the Wanks. We heard from David and Ben Wank of Plum and Cider. These are folks who live on a century-old farm, which is not unusual for Pennsylvania, because if you don't know this amazing, what is considered a commonwealth, not necessarily a state, it's a different kind of political setup of governance. There's folks who have huge farms. You go along the highway and you'll see like stone buildings everywhere and these amazingly large farm, exquisite country, rolling hills, farmland everywhere. And this family, we heard the tale of where it all started back in 1818 when their family member immigrated from Switzerland to the U.S. and landed in Adams County, actually just a mile and a half down the road from where the same family is located today. I mean, how cool is that? It's just amazing history, right? So this week, we are leading to the last and final part of this Ciderfield road trip that I took. And from my morning visit at Plum and Cider, I was going to be driving all the way back to Massachusetts, and I had saved ample time along the way to get up to West Wind Orchard and have enough time to have a sit-down. I was hoping to have some food there because they just have an amazing array of dishes. We'll be hearing about that. And I was really stoked. Okay, I'm going to arrive early. Well, you know, the weather has a different part in it all. And wouldn't you know it, actually, even before the weather came down, I was on the phone. I was driving my 1997 Plymouth Voyager van, and I was right behind a tractor-trailer truck. Luckily, I had enough distance between me and that tractor-trailer truck, because as I was talking on the phone, hands-free, right, I had a little doohickey that allowed me to Bluetooth it to my cell phone. I saw a large Sprinter van coming up right behind me and was ready to careen into me. I mean, that van was coming within inches, and I don't know why I didn't freak out more. I probably should have, the more I think about it. And I kept talking on the phone during the whole time without like missing a beat, which was crazy, but was able to swing to the right. He swung to the left, and I'm hoping that he also made it home safely like I did that evening. That was wild. But it wasn't over, because I still was hours out from West Wind Orchard, and in between here and there, I hit a magnificent rainstorm, one that just makes you say, yeah, I totally believe in climate change, and which got me off the highway again, kind of making my way through Dunmore, Pennsylvania. I should have stopped to see Dan, but the rain was so thick that I just wanted to stay up on the hillside, kind of classic hillside of all these Pennsylvania towns with row houses, and found my way to what is called Drinker Street. Let me cut you to that just for a minute, just so you can kind of hear my wiper blades going and a little bit of my state of mind. Alrighty, so I made it to Drinker Street. Drinker Street's going to bring me somewhere over to the highway. Let's go. East Drinker Street. We're on our way. Always good to keep on heading up the mountain, and the lighting is like flaring around. Ooh, it's fun. Only thing is biting into my time that I want to spend out in New York, so that's a little hard, but maybe it's raining there and this is going to clear up. But I'll tell you, this is like serious rain right now, and that's the thing that climate change is doing. It's really like when the weather comes, it comes like nothing. Hot, hot, or cold, cold, or rain, rain. And then, of course, snow, snow. Ugh. Well, Drinker Street got me there, and it led me directly to the other side of the highway. I bypassed all the traffic, and I was now bound for New York, hopefully with a little bit of better luck. And I did eventually make it there, and the sun came out, and it was a happening scene at Westwood Orchard. There is ample parking everywhere. It's not really that far off the main drag. And once you arrive, you go through a big high fence, which keeps the deer out from all the apple trees. And there's children playing, picnic tables everywhere to sit outside. There's a swag shop where you could buy cider. There's a place where you put in your orders for pasta or pizza. Shoot, they even sell espresso. Come on now, because Fabio Cizzola, who is the owner and cider maker, is Italian. And so you're going to definitely hear his accent. He's from Rome, and he has a whole setup there. It's like a gastronomic feast. Unfortunately for me, I was not able to experience the whole scene because it was getting dark, it was getting late, and I did not have a good cell service to get out of there. So it was not really working for me to hang out in the dark. I was really relying on sunlight to get back to the main piece, which, you know, just so you know, that's sometimes a part of a cider podcaster. You're just going by a little bit of a wish and a prayer that you get onto your next location, which is all to say that I do hope to make it back there because I need to experience Fabio's cider and his food, which he's going to be talking about. So we're going to head right to this conversation with, once again, Fabio Cizzola of Westwind Orchard. He's going to be telling us about the history of the orchard, which is a little bit unique on his way that he entered into becoming a cider maker.
The orchard opened in 2008. I bought this in the orchard in 2002. It was an abandoned orchard.
2002, abandoned. Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I restored all the trees. Well, there were 700 trees, but all sweet fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, Corton, Macintosh, Red Delicious, Golden Delicious, and stamens and all that. Mm-hmm. Eiderheads. And but 350 trees, I took them out because they were just dying. You know, they weren't doing well.
Yeah,
the other 350, I restored them until 2008 when we started to have, we had the first crop. And then I was like, I'm going to do with all these apples on the trees. I'm not going to pick them all. What am I going to do with
right.
it? And so a friend of mine said, you know, put some signs on the main road and say, pick your own organic.
Cool.
You know, we never sprayed them. So that year we made $2,500.
On pick your, in general,
a pop-up tent outside here, no buildings, nothing.
Okay.
That was 2008.
Yeah.
And then from there, in 2009, we didn't open because we didn't have a crop because we lost all the apples.
Mm.
And then at that point, I started to think about, you know, how do I plant other things that if I lose the crop, because we are in a frost-prone zone
area. Okay,
area.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Once every 3 years, I kind of lose some of the crop or even all the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, now I have frost machines. I have one.
What's
one
a frost knot. Machine? Like a windmill?
The frost machine is... No, I don't have a windmill. I have two frost machines that turn around 360 degrees on their own on propane.
Okay.
And it's a cannon of hot air, 85 Celsius, 85 grads. And what's interesting about that is that it's not the heat that helps because it's... But it's the heat excites the molecules.
Molecules.
Molecules, yes. of the applets of
right,
the flowers,
right.
And so it makes them move, and so that they warm up, kind
right,
of warms
a little bit.
Up the.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Good.
So 2010 came, and I started to plant new trees, and my first tree that I planted was Crimson Crisp and Gold Rush. And then we started to serve pizza here and food, and I started to see people bring in their own alcohol. And I was like, wait a second, And I come from Italy, so I was a little snob about cider. And I was like, but then I met, 2012, I met Andy from Arumber. And I tasted his cider. And then I was like, okay, if I can make something close to that, or even, you know. And I was like, this is something that I can drink and I love. So I started to collaborate with Andy, and we used some of these apples, which were sweet apples, with wild and whatever I could find on the road, and friends of mine, and all that. And then from there, the cider, the cider idea started to grow on me, and I started to plant. Now we have 70 or 80 varieties, and we have, you know, from French apples, English apples, and I interplanted anything, and I grafted everything.
Wow.
So I closed for Pick Your Own. I don't do Pick Your Own anymore. And I use 100% of my apples for cider.
Do you have to bring any apples in at this point?
Yes, I do. I do.
Because I do. You're kicking it here.
Well, no, also because the orchard is... This is the first year of good crop of the new orchard.
Well, congratulations.
So the orchard is still young. I'm still planting every year. I plant between 200 and 500 trees.
Right.
And yeah, and it's going to be... I'm just refilling every single empty spot in my orchard too. In 10, 15 years, maybe in 6 to 8 years, I might have enough on a good year not to buy. But but I still buy. Kingston Black is an apple that is hard to grow. I have 200 trees here, but I haven't had an apple yet. You know, it's very young.
It takes a while. So you kind of did it like reverse on how a lot of different estate orchards are doing it, where they are producing the cider and then they have like a tasting room and food and all that. But you had this amazing, you know, front yard type of, you know, social scene and family oriented, and food. You have pizza. I saw ravioli going out.
Yeah, we make pasta. We make pasta with our eggs, with our, you know, we have chickens, we have pigs, we have raspberries, and all a good amount of the old little production, but all the production is concentrated for the kitchen, for the cider, for the provision. We make jams and all that stuff. So we started as Pick Your Own, and then after that I brought in food, because I was like, how do I bring people from 209
in here?
And I was like, I'm Italian, I know food, I know pasta, I know pizza. You know, I'm not a chef, but I know how food should taste. So then after that, the whole thing came together. Now the cider for me is my passion. It's more the more important thing that I'm doing here.
Now, where in Italy are you from?
From Rome.
Rome.
So they have no cider.
Yeah, they don't. Italy is starting to really catch the bug.
Actually thinking about possibly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Northern.
I've had Italian cider, and it's magnificent.
Yeah.
You know, really impressive.
I haven't had yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm thinking in the next few years to maybe, I have a few friends that have, on the north, they have a lot of vines. And I'm thinking that maybe, you know, maybe a small project.
Yeah, or a collaboration.
Or a collaboration with them.
Wine and the apples.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about your cider making.
Yeah.
So you go dry, but it's not wild. You're not doing wild.
No, we do one. Mm-hmm. One is called Wild East, and it's just wild apples. Mm-hmm. So when we say wild apples, it's basically unsprayed apples. So sometimes some of the trees might be cultivated trees, but they're gone, you know, feral, and nobody has been spraying it for years and years and years. And a lot of the trees are actually in the wild. Around here, we go and pick them.
Oh, okay.
So that's one. But otherwise, everything else is cultivated. All the other varieties of cider that we make is cultivated. Yeah.
Okay. And the yeast, are you using cultured yeast?
We use cultured yeast.
Cultured yeast.
And I use cultured yeast for this reason. We don't use any sulfites. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of the cider to start fermenting ASAP. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to wait too long because I don't want to have other, you know, the baddies come in. I want the goodies to start, and then at that point, that cider is protected.
Right.
So most of the cider is a few different cultures that I use.
I see. Okay.
There is a few cider that I do wild, but my main production is with culture yeast.
And you're doing all blends. You're not doing single varietal.
Oh, I do a lot of single varietals.
You do single varietal. So yeah. Let's talk about that then.
So we're coming up with a line of cider. It's called Eremita, Eremith. Mm-hmm. And single variety, single barrel, and few years in a barrel. So we're coming up this year. We are doing Yarlington Mill. We're doing, what's that one? No Ellis Bitter, but...
Not Ellis Bitter.
Wait, I have
something up here, right behind you.
Yeah.
On the wall. I see Ellis Bitter.
Chisel Jersey.
Oh, Chisel Jersey, okay.
So we're doing Chestnut Crab. We're doing Wixon 100%. We taste it, and believe it or not, it is a good one. Yarlington Mill and Chesil Jersey. So it's four different. Yeah, it's four different apples that we'll bottle little by little. We won't bottle them all together. So one might be aged in oak. They're all in oak.
Okay. So when you say oak, they're in oak barrels?
Downstairs.
Oh,
I'll show them.
So you have a barrel?
Yeah,
room.
I have
Excellent.
Barrels.
Okay.
So those are my single varieties. And then this year I did Reine des Pommes single variety. That is of the oak. Well, obviously, I taste my first Reine des Pommes single variety. I tasted from West County.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow. That is a really good cider.
Really
so
is.
I was like, okay, let me see if I can find some Reine des Pommes, and we'll see. We might blend it or not. And when I tasted it, I was like, we're not blending that one. Mm. That is incredible.
Well, that's fantastic that you're able to do that. And plus, it's always educating the public about what an apple tastes like.
Fermented. Oh, absolutely.
And then as it blends, they could pick it out. So I love hearing that. And I'm hearing so many people doing single varietals now that they didn't do before.
Yeah. And, you know, now I mentioned all this English, French, but we also do Gold Rush. The Solitario is Norte Spy, so that's another single variety.
Mm-hmm.
And I am super stoked about Norte Spy. I'm like, okay, Gold Rush is good. Norte Spy is even better.
From New York State,
New York
it's
State.
A nice apple grown here. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm there is some apples that maybe are not the...
I was wondering about the Solitario. You know, is that... I thought it's like maybe where you are adding into the barrel... And kind of changing it, Salerno?
No.
Am I saying that right now? Because I'm saying Solitario, but...
Solitario is someone that is just by himself.
Well, I thought that maybe, though, you were maybe... Okay, so Salerno is where you like adding into the barrel.
Oh, okay.
Each year, you know, you add it. It's what they do with...
Oh, yes. I never done that.
Fun, yeah.
I'd love to try.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. I have no doubt, especially if you have a barrel program.
So you add... Well, because
the angel's portion is kind of going down. Yeah.
And then you
and add. Each year, you know, if you have a nice blend, you could kind of... I mean, most people are kind of doing it without really calling it anything because they'll take something from one year and blend it in, but... People have dedicated barrels just for that to kind of add in and bring the mixture and, you know.
So let me ask you something. When they do that, they put sweet juice or they put fermented juice?
No, they're putting fermented juice in.
Fermented juice. So they don't bring yeast in. They just blend it.
They
use it as a vessel just to hold it.
Right. Because if you put in fresh juice into the barrel,
it starts again.
Yeah, it would start again and you'd be like, where are we going?
Yeah.
So,
you start again every year.
Yeah, I know. Not a good thing.
No.
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay.
I know. Although I've done that in a barrel and it does kind of go wild. You know, you got to try everything because that's the fun of cider making, right?
Wow. That's what's exciting. More than following the rules of the winemaking, you know.
You do whatever you want.
Cider making, you do whatever you want. And then, you know, you see how your palate reacts. And if you like it, you see how your customer reacts. And my cider is 95% sold here. So I know what sells and what doesn't sell and what people are reacting to and all that.
I was wondering about that. So is there any place outside of
I mean, we sell it in Brooklyn and Manhattan a little bit.
Okay.
Although, otherwise we sell it all the wine stores around here. But we're talking about 8-10 different outlets, but not too much.
So you got
to
come.
And we self-distribute.
Yeah, you got to come to the beautiful orchard that's open on the weekends.
Open on the weekends through Thursday through Sunday.
And that's seasonal, right?
No, all year.
All year round.
All year round, food and pizza.
Well, that's good because I think people would be really bummed out in the middle of the winter when they run out of some of your cider. They're showing up.
And this year, because of COVID, we have people eating outside at 35 degrees.
Yeah, we all got used to that.
Everybody got used to that. Like, okay, the pizza freezes as soon as it comes out of the oven because it's so thin.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you're eating a cold pizza.
Oh, it tastes so good.
Whatever. I want to get out of the house anyway.
So in the winter, how do you have it set up here? Because right now you have games. And
The bar, the barricato, bar, I have plastic curtains, and I have two types of heating, propane and air.
Okay.
So on a day that is 30 degrees outside, 25 degrees, it's 55 degrees there. So you can still eat with your jacket.
Fantastic.
You can eat inside here in the tasting room. Uh-huh. And then pretty much it.
Great.
Yeah,
so it's still like a destination.
And we do take out. We also deliver in the way we started to deliver this year.
It doesn't really
work 100%, but we deliver in the winter because we're not as busy, so we can dedicate one of us for the delivery.
Right. Well, you got it going on. So this is like your bottling room, and you have...
This is my whole room.
This is your whole room.
I just built the storage.
Okay, is that cold storage or the...
No. It's going to be just this kind of storage, like full bottles, empty bottles, full kegs, kegs, and all that.
Are all the kegs like for here? This is what you...
All the kegs, I sell.
Yeah.
I give some kegs to Sylvia in Woodstock, a restaurant. I don't sell to... And a couple of places in Kingston.
Sylvia in Woodstock?
It's a restaurant.
Okay,
yeah,
we want to know that.
Fantastic.
We want to know that because people will be like in Woodstock looking for your cider.
Yeah.
Shall we go down and look at the barrel room? Let's take a peek. I'm going to leave my bag there.
Yeah. No.
Good. Because you know I love barrels.
All right.
Down the stairs behind the bar. And here we go. I always like to smell what a barrel room at each side is like. So we have, this is right below the tasting room and not really high ceilings, and everything's like low, which is nice if you're doing any kind of stirring of the lees. So
most of these barrels, I have 6 barrels filled now. Everything else is done.
It's done. Okay.
They're waiting for juice now.
And how do you manage your barrels? Like,
it's a pain.
Well,
you mean,
it sounds romantic, but so you have the little. Oh, I thought that was a penny. You were going to show me the little Vinnie penny. Do you stir in the lees? Do you do batonnage?
No, I don't. I leave. Because we are unfiltered, we try to stay not so fast. We try to stay as clean as we can and leave the lees under.
Let it drop down.
Let it drop down.
So
I thought like you meant like because they dry and they leak and you have to
I mean, the way you have cider, everybody does it differently once the actual juice is in the barrel. Some folks let it drop out, the gross lees, and then put it into the barrel.
Yeah.
Or they let it ferment in the barrel, then rack it out. And
we
then
don't do the first fermentation in the barrel.
Okay.
We do it on stainless steel. And then we bring it here and we let it stay for the winter.
I see. Okay. And the temperature down here must be pretty nice.
It's
pretty perfect
between
for a barrel.
50, 55, 45 and 60, let's say, for the year. So.
Great.
Yeah, and we use it for other things too, but
Do you see this getting? Is it okay if I take a photo down
course,
here?
Of course, of course.
Do you see this getting any larger as a program here for you? Yes.
Not too much larger.
Because you said it's a pain, though. But you still enjoy it.
I love oak cider.
And what? Let's talk what the wood is here. So I see World Cooperage.
So yes, it's so I got this. The first year that I used this was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Red wine and Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year they took a little bit of a taste on the wine, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now they're totally on cider right now. And it's between French oak and American oak. I should maybe pay more attention on which one's a French oak, which one's an American oak. I don't really pay too much attention to that.
You're so busy.
I pay attention to the taste, to what comes out of the barrel, and I'm very, very excited about
the direction it's going in.
Yeah.
And how long do they normally condition in the barrel?
Between 6 months and 2 years. I did a crazy experiment of a Dolgo, 100% Dolgo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the acidity, went down after 2 years, but still was super acidic. Too acidic for, I didn't love it.
It was an interesting
experiment.
Do you have any advice for people going into barrels that you wish you knew then?
They need maintenance, a lot more maintenance than stainless steel and plastic.
Right.
Absolutely. If you let them dry, means you have to refill them and let them, swollen up again and all that. And you never can clean a barrel like a stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that there's going to be some barrels that have a flaw or something that doesn't taste right.
Right.
So, but I like the idea of wood. I like the idea of have a super, especially single varieties in barrels, mm-hmm. and in single barrels, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what maybe will move on for mm-hmm. the barrels.
Mm-hmm. I love that they're low. That's great, because I've seen some that are really racked high. So.
Oh, I'm having a hard time. I tried the double, but how do you taste it? How do you rack it?
I don't know. And how do you get it in here? Is there like a walkout?
You put it in the back.
Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah, no, this door don't move. We wash everything.
So you carried it down the stairs.
We carried it down the stairs.
We don't have an outlet. Darn.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's it.
They
stay here.
Yeah. They better be good barrels.
Yeah. They're not moving. They're not moving now. So.
Well, this is awesome. Cool. Do you see yourself doing anything with other barrels other than the wine barrels? Do you like the rum barrels or the bourbon barrels?
I personally not interested on that. I already think that the barrel changes the cider a little bit, mm-hmm. and it really depends on what barrel you're using, mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. that, but I don't want to change more than that. I don't want to alter the cider. I'm really trying to use the best apple I can for the cider. Mm-hmm. And when you use those apples, you really want to taste that apple.
Absolutely.
You know, you want to taste the life of that apple and not the bourbon
absolutely.
So
I agree.
Well, you know, that's not.
Well, I've had my boozy kind of, ciders early on, kind of
and
classic.
It's
fun. I've just gone in a different direction now. I mean, I will drink it. I'll never turn down a cider.
No, me neither.
And
yeah,
I've enjoyed them. It's just if I was making it on my own. I'm trying to the smell in here is not, it's not overwhelming, but you said that most of them are, there's only like six barrels here.
Well, also because these are the barrels that left, seven barrels, but
okay.
Also because, we these are all clean and they're done. And we haven't been doing anything for a few months because we don't have space to bottle.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to finish that building to move those bottles so I can keep bottling.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm missing this, and I'm missing the last that I'm bottling is the raspberry cider. We put the raspberries in the cider, and that's when I don't mind about.
Okay.
That's why I don't mind.
Well, I mean, fresh raspberries?
Our raspberries.
Your raspberries here, but they're like plunk, plunk, plunk into the cider.
Inside.
Yeah, you're not fermenting with raspberries. You want to be.
We're not fermenting. No, they're already. It's the cider is already fermented.
Okay.
So the raspberries come in.
They're being served
the last month.
Okay.
The last month of the cider.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll rock it from the side from the raspberries, and then we bottle it.
Okay.
That's when I don't really mind that the raspberries take over the apple, because I use a blend of apples that I don't think they should be served. It should be drunk, by itself.
Yeah. Is there one that you have a named cider that you're adding raspberries to? Because I have a feeling this is not something that you've been doing too long, doing the raspberries. Is that true?
I've been doing it for 4 years.
Oh,
but
okay.
But that's the raspberry cider. Like, normally it's like 50% sweet, some golden russet. I need some acidity in there.
Yeah,
so golden russet and Roxby russet.
Nice.
And with the sweet, it's a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to check what we put this year. I think we put like a black twig and... red twig, so it's a blend that is not the strongest, but the raspberry,
but it must be beautiful
the
too.
Raspberry
the
is,
color.
Yes, I'll show you.
Look at that.
So,
and that light. Get a little photo of that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
not overwhelming. It's kind of like a darker amber, a little with a rose hue on it.
Yeah, I'm actually this year I actually did something. I'm doing raspberry cider, but also I did a rose cider with just apples. So obviously, most of the apples are Redfield with some Dubinette and.
That's great.
And
that's
something
great.
Else, I don't remember the third, I think some golden russet in there. And it's incredible because raspberry cider, the sales of raspberry cider in the summer is like that, and then in the winter goes down. Summer is just like everybody wants this. So
you got to go sometimes what the consumers want because they get stuff.
Yeah, and I don't mind it actually.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah.
It's still a dry cider. It's.
Very good.
So
very good. So you're full time here.
Full time, yeah.
Full time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've been doing that for
7 days a week.
7 days a week.
I've been doing it since 2016 full time.
That's
but
great.
Until then I was part time, but almost full time.
Did you ever think you'd be a fermenter?
No.
It was just you saw people bringing in alcohol, and that was the throw.
Well. That was the first thing, but also, like, I was thinking, once I started to see apples on the trees, I realized that I'm not a fruit grower to sell fresh fruit. I don't care that the fruit looks good.
Right.
I care that the fruit tastes right.
Right.
So
that
when
takes
I
a little pressure
and
off.
When I started to see how we used to be certified organic, and how the organic markets, Mother Earth and how they, I was having a hard time to sell my apples.
Mm.
Then at that point, I really decided, I can't deal with that. I don't really care about selling apples.
Yeah.
And then when I started to make cider, I care about my cider and I care about, there is so much going in there. Don't it's just not the fermenting is it's a lot more than just fermenting for me cider.
Yeah.
It's the aging, it's the marketing of the cider and it's a lot of things. And as I said before, because we sell it here and I'm behind the counter most of the time, I'm understanding where people want to go and what they like and how to direct them to what I like. So it's really interesting, you know, starting with someone that never drank cider. You start him with a Gold Rush, right?
Right.
Cider, because it's light, it doesn't have too much body. Mm-hmm. And then someone that is an expert on cider, then you go with the Forestiero, these English and French apples, mm-hmm. and it's super hard on body. I always say there is ciders that they are linear, where you drink it and it's like, okay, it's a good mm-hmm, cider. Mm-hmm, fine. Mm-hmm. And then there are ciders that are like round. Mm-hmm. And it goes around and it goes mm-hmm, around and mm-hmm. it keeps changing in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And that's the cider that I think is the one that I want to drink.
I have no doubt. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, right.
And when I have in front of me the person that knows about cider, that, you know, that has been drinking cider, then I direct them to our Magnum or our Forestiero or mm-hmm. To ciders that I think they'll enjoy.
Yeah. So let me ask about the consumers then, over the years that you've been doing that, because that's, this particular region has a lot more cideries than it did before, right?
Yes. We're the new ones. We're the babies, you know.
Right. But still. So what are you seeing? Well, when you first opened, probably people were coming and saying, what cider, or were they? When you first opened your business.
Yeah.
Do you have to explain that a lot, or do you still have to?
I still have to, but a lot less. Okay. And I get a lot of people that come here and buy bottles to give us a present.
Sure.
Which is incredible if you think about it. You know, the price range is quite a little less than a good wine, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. we're talking about between $20 and $28 per mm-hmm. 750s. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot more people that love cider. Mm-hmm. So someone came to me and a beer maker came to me and said, why cider? You can make a lot more money on beer. I'm like, yes, but beer is made 95% of water. Cider is made of fruit, 100%. So I like beer, but mm-hmm. I'm not interested in that process. Mm-hmm. I'm interested on fruit, how to grow it, mm-hmm. how to get from the one-year-old tree to barrels or to mm-hmm. my tanks. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm interested. As of right now, still 50% of my apples are bought. And I would like to have less and less, because so then I know, you know, what I spray on the apples and how I treat my soil and all that stuff. But you know, we'll get there.
Yeah,
I'm 53, so I have another 50 years to live. Yes, hopefully.
I'm sure you do.
If I drink cider, I'll be another 50 years.
No doubt. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that, you know, there's so many people coming here, and obviously the audience has been continually being educated and growing with the market.
Yeah, and growing.
So you're feeling optimistic.
Yeah, I feel optimistic, and I feel like that, and I've said this at our meetings of Stamsprout and mm-hmm. our cider with all my cider mm-hmm. friends, cider maker friends. The only way to educate people is to have your own tasting room and to have people welcome you so that they see your world mm-hmm. and then they understand, because I was a snob. I didn't know what cider was. I didn't know that cider could be, you could make a good alcoholic beverage out of apples.
Right.
So that is our goal, to let more and more people know that we're up there with the wine. I mean, you know, we can make really good ciders mm-hmm. and a lot of people are liking it now.
Totally.
So it's fun because it's as we said before, there's no rules on cider. Mm-hmm. I can blend whatever I want. I can call you the way I want. It's just how I sell it, how I introduce it to my exciting. Customers and how you know. So yeah, so it's and I'm so young on making cider. I have to learn so much more that I'm super stoked and excited about this.
That's great. I love that.
So.
And your you know, enthusiasm is contagious. It's just like,
No,
I hear you. Yeah, that's the excitement of it, because we get to write our own story here, which is like no other libation out there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a place to be where you can really express what to do from beginning to end. what you do from the beginning to end, from when you plant the tree to when you ferment your apple, your apple juice. So that's unique to me, you know.
Well, I would wish you many, many more years to come of the excitement and enthusiasm and the adventure, because that's
what
it is.
Thank you. And it's exciting that we can talk about cider and we can drink cider.
That is for sure. I just absolutely love hearing how he saved this abandoned orchard and has brought it up to the level that it is now, where it's a destination not just for cider, but also food. And he's cranking it up. People are there year-round, even in the cold weather. It's a destination to be. Now, earlier he mentioned that Andy Brennan is somebody that he connected with. And Andy has the brand name Aaron Burr, and he's located just a little south of this site of West Wind Orchard. Does not have a tasting room, so you have to kind of seek out his bottles too. But that's how it kind of rolls in that area. People are just connecting and helping out. And a little bit further to the south too was also Stone Ridge Orchard. That's where Elizabeth Ryan is, and she has her own foodie heaven there. So what a destination area, this whole Hudson River Valley, for cider makers and cider fans. Definitely check it out. There's going to be links in the show notes to this. And I love the idea that they have espresso, because you're there at the end and then it's kind of like a final little cap before you hit on the road. Oh, I love me some good Italian espresso or cappuccino. Ooh la la, squisito. That Ciderfield road trip was absolutely delicious, and I really encourage you to head out and discover what is nearby and even afar. And yes, I am still looking at Totally Cider Tours in 2022, just trying to like feel things out, you know, kind of dealing with the pandemic like all of us. Some businesses have opened, some businesses have closed, and those are the ones I'm a little concerned about. So if you have contacted me, like many people have, about the Totally Cider Tours that I'm looking at for France and the UK, do know that I'm still on it, and I'll be getting in touch with you in the coming weeks to let you know a bit more about that. And if a trip out to Europe, to the UK, to West Country, or to France, to Normandy, and possibly Brittany, let me know. Send an email to info@ciderchat.com, and I'll get you in the loop, because there's nothing better than drinking cider at the location where it's been made. Just absolutely nothing better. And then you couple that with a gastronomic experience, you're in heaven. Absolutely heaven. So much to say about that. Well, Ciderville, with that, I'm going to leave you here until next week. This is Rio Wind Caller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards. And having fun, there is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason.
We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards.
having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!